Open your Bibles to the 23rd Psalm. The 23rd Psalm. Let's stand together, please. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our Father, look upon us now. Guide us and direct us as we bring the message. For Christ's sake, amen. You may be seated. If you notice Psalms 23, verse 6, the Bible talks, and David speaking, he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Let me go back over that and don't neglect to catch what he's saying. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me after I get saved. No. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. My day started September the 15th, 1924. I want to rejoice tonight to say that goodness and mercy has been my constant companion from that day till this. Though I do not deserve it, I thank God they're with me. Now, a lot of folks attribute you arriving at this milestone in your life to some weird idea of luck. Luck. Luck my foot. There is no such a thing. A Christian does not lay claim to four-leaf clovers. The dumbest thing I've ever saw is a man crawling around in a pasture looking for a four-leaf clover. You can look in his eyes and tell there ain't nobody home. I was in Dallas, Texas, and I'd said that I did not believe in luck, and a young boy walked up to me after service and said, hey man, you don't believe in luck? And I said, no, I don't. And he pulled out a keychain, and it had, of all things, a green rabbit's foot on it. He said, do you know what that means? I said, it means there's a rabbit somewhere with 3 feet. Doesn't have a thing to do with your life. It does not have. My friend, listen to me. Where you're at tonight, God's goodness and mercy has allowed you to come this far. Nothing to do with tea leaves or anything like that. It's God. Say it with me. It's God. Say it again. It's God. When will folks stop believing that malarkey and start realizing it's the God of all the earth that's doing right? I thank Him for that. Then listen to me. All of our lives, we're going to travel. You say, well, my driving ability is so skilled. That's what brought me here. If it had not been for goodness and mercy, you may be in a funeral home right now. That's exactly right. But I want to tell you tonight, I've traveled thousands upon thousands of miles, and I lay no claim to any ability of mine I thank Him and bless His name that over every mile of every road I've traveled, He has been there with me. But now notice, I'm coming down somewhere soon. I'm now 78 years old. Someday soon, I shall reach the end of my journey. Someday soon, this tabernacle of clay shall fold up, and I shall be here no more. But, now notice, this verse said, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. But notice, if you will, please, in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 15, the Bible said, and their works do follow them. Now, when I come to the end of my life, and my hands are folded, my lungs no longer afford me any breath, goodness and mercy shall say, this is as far as we go. No more. Don't need us no more. The undertaker, Johnny Peoples in Chatsworth, Georgia, shall make me look as presentable as can, and my family shall view my remains. But let me say to you right now, something else, after I'm gone, something else is going to start following me. My works do follow me. Not going to be as pleasant, my friend, as some of you might suppose. I want to ask you tonight, I want to preach on this simple message, building memories. Each day of your life, you have built a memory in somebody's life. And might I say to you, it may be good, but it may be a bad memory. I remember one time walking out of a cemetery after we had laid the remains of a man in the grave. His two daughters that I'd known all of their life, I had my arm around one and one around the other as we walked out of the cemetery. And suddenly, they stopped. They stopped. Their mother was already dead. Now Dad is gone. They stopped. One of them looked up at me with trembling chin and said, Brother Blue, I never remember my daddy praying in my life. He had built a memory of prayerlessness. There are some of you right now, my right this very minute, your children, when you're gone, will not be able to say, I saw my daddy on his knees. I heard him call my name. I want to say this. I want you to ask yourself the question, how are you going to be remembered when you're gone in your own home? Oh, I want to say it about my mama, bless her heart. She was a little bitty 4x4 woman, broader, she was long almost. A precious little saint. She had endured being the wife of a bootlegger. She had endured all of that, and she prayed all the way through it. I remember so well. My mama didn't wait and just got to church to pray, to shout. She shouted home. Oh, many a time in that little old shack we lived in, I'd hear Mama in the kitchen singing, how firm a foundation ye saints of the Lord is laid for your faith in His excellent word. Now, she was making up biscuits with her hand all the time she was singing, and all of a sudden, Mama would say, "Woo!" We had biscuits all over the ceiling. We had green beans and anything she'd have cooking all over. Oh, she built a memory for me that I never have forgot. It's still there. Mama, how will your children remember you when you're gone? Will they remember an old-fashioned, God-loving, Holy Ghost Spirit filled, shouting, Mama, my mama. I'm sorry, shout out in the yard. I'm sorry, shout in the house. I'm sorry, shout walking down the road. Oh, she loved the Lord. And you know what? She built a memory for me, a little old boy, that's still living with this old man right now. Amen. Let me ask you a question. I want to ask you a question. If your children, Mama, had to have somebody to pray, would they ask you? I'm going to go ahead. I was pastoring a church one time. A young lady came to the altar one Sunday morning. And her dad and mama that were members of my church came and run and put their arms around her. Now, I do not condone how the young lady did this. But she raised up and said, get away from me. I've got no confidence in you at all. That would kill me. That would kill me, Brother Jones. She said, I've heard you use language that I don't believe a Christian ought to use. What if I were to get one boy or girl up in this congregation and say, son, have your mama and daddy lived such a life at home? Have they built a memory that you've got confidence in them? Hello? Amen. If my kids don't have confidence in me, I've got no right to preach to you. I've got no right to get up here and tell you how to live. If my memories at home are not sufficient for my kids to say, my dad is real. Hello? See, this matter of Christianity is not just living here, it's living out there. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. But suddenly they stop. And now then your works get up and start following you. My daddy, a Cherokee Indian, mama was white. That makes me a half-breed. You talk about your folks coming across on the Mayflower. Mama's here waiting for yours when they got here. And come to think of it, you pale faces stole everything we had. And I want mine back. My daddy, he was a man that would kill you and laugh at about it. I saw him shoot a man down one night and stand over him, snapping a gun, praying to the fire again. You didn't mess with him. Oh, God. You just didn't. He'd turn you every way but loose and then try to find loose. One day, my mama was sick, couldn't get up. They was having a revival in the daytime over church. Daddy cussed everybody out and said, I ain't going over there. He told me later, said, I was going to the bootleggers to get me a drink of whiskey. He said, I got down there and cut across through the woods and went over to that church. Right on, Lord. He said, I got up in the door going to make fun of them old people in there, and my feet wouldn't stop. I wound up in the altar. See, now I'm over at the house taking care of Mama so I could get her a glass of water if she wanted some water. And I'm out in the yard playing. I didn't know too much about it. I heard Mama shout, but I didn't know. I mean, I watched that. But I'm out there playing, and all of a sudden in the house I heard Mama go, "Woo!" God had sent her a telegram. Oh, I went in and said, Mama, you want some water? She said, "Woo!" Hey, Mama, let me get you some water. I couldn't get her no water at all. And I went back out in the yard, see my daddy had been over to that church, and all of a sudden I heard him coming through the woods going, "Whoa!" And I said, Lord God, he's got to hold some mean whiskey, he'll kill us all. And I started on the floor. And all of a sudden, Daddy rounded the corner of the house, grabbed me up in his arm, and done something he had never done in his life. Started kissing me. Went to the house to pick Mama up and said, "You got a brand new husband." The booze was all gone. The drinking stopped. And I want to tell you something. Daddy got him a job, the first job I ever remember him having. And every evening when he come in from work, he'd go out through the woods. He'd done that so often, he got a path. And he cut out through the woods, and I asked him one day, "Daddy, can I go with you?" He stuck out his finger, and I grabbed his finger. Went down through the woods and across the meadow and across the creek, back down through there. All of a sudden, we stopped. He always called me boy. He said, "Boy, I've been coming here to pray." And he said, "I don't know how to pray real good." But he said, "We get down on our knees, and like a little boy," he said, "we fold our hands." And he said, "Now, boy, let's close our eyes." I'm so glad I didn't close my eyes. I watched that old red man when he closed his eyes and said, "Oh, our dear, loving Heavenly Father. My dad and Mama's both gone. Mama's shouting on the other side now. And that old red man, I stood and watched him close the lid on his casket. But I went by where that little old shack used to be. The house is gone and there's no more trail there. But he built a memory for me that day that's still with me right now. It's still here." See, you can put on your Sunday go to meeting clothes if you want to and come to church. That's fine. But this living in one life here and one life out there, that's not worth a dime. And they will remember. How will you be remembered at home? Daddy, will you be remembered as somebody had an old, ugly, vicious temper? Flew off the handle real quick and lost your temper? Huh? I believe Christ living in you changes you. I believe there's a changed man and woman when the Lord Jesus moves in. Don't you? How will you be remembered at home? How will you be remembered in your community? How will they remember you next door? Will they remember you as somebody that had the loud fights and fusses next door? I want to build a memory that my kids and the folks that know me and say, "I remember Brother Blue. I remember that old man that loved souls and loved the gospel." Oh, preachers, don't be remembered for your flowery antics, but be remembered for loving this book and preaching this book and standing up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? How will you be remembered? Will you be remembered for your faithfulness to the house of God? How will you stand there? Or will they remember you as somebody are in and out, off and on, can and can't, do and don't, will and won't. Amen? I was helping a man preach a funeral some time ago, and he and I left the cemetery, and we got a safe distance away, and he said, "Whew, thank God one more troublemaker gone." How will you be remembered in your church? I never will forget. Lord God, I was a little old young pastor, didn't know straight up. And I remember I'd try to get something done. I'd try to get folks to do some things. There was one old man, bless his heart. Every time we start to vote on something, he would never say, "I'm against it." He'd say, "I'm against it." I'm against it. That day I preached his funeral, I could look down at that turkey and hear him say, I'm against it. I'm against it. I thought about saying, you've had it now, boy. You can't vote no more. I'm against it. How will you be remembered in church? Someone that was always faithful, stood true to God's blessed book, loved your church and loved your pastor. Amen. I believe there is an attitude that Christians have in the cause of Christ.
I remember going through a town one time, and there was some gentleman there that I knew, or I thought I knew. I thought, well, I'll give him a ring and see how he's doing. I believe there's an attitude that goes along with being saved. A good attitude. I called, rang the phone number, and when he picked it up, he said, yeah! Lord God, I hung it up. I mean, fast. I thought, well, I've rang the wrong number. That couldn't be my dear brother. I rang the number. Hello! I hung it up again. I said, my God, I've done it again. I rang the number the third time. Hello! I said, this is Brother Blue. Oh, hello, Brother Blue. Know what I done? Hung up. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Amen? I believe there's something that identifies you as a part of the family of God. And it's not a bad attitude. I remember another time down in South Georgia, I was preaching a revival and got on this idea about how Christians should be clean in their business dealings and pay their debts. I believe that. I believe you ought to pay what you owe. Hello? The next night out in the yard, I was before we went to the church, a man come walking up to me and said, got something for you. And he handed me, I believe it was $300. And I said, what's this for? He said, that message you preached last night on how people ought to pay their debts, said there's a man there in the congregation owed me $600 and said, I'm giving you half of it. I said, anybody else? I believe the businessmen in the community ought to say he was honest. Amen? I believe they ought to know you as a man that says something and does it. We're building memories. Do you not know tonight how sad some of the worst credit references in the world are held among preachers? That's not right. It's a black eye on the church. We build memories. People see you and they say, oh yeah, I know what kind of fellow he is. He owes me this or he owes me that, or he told me he'd do this and didn't do it. And you know what it goes right back to? All Christians are like that. You're building memories, good or bad. You're building them. Your children right now, some of them have no confidence in you. They hear that language you use. They see your actions, and then you have the audacity. And I wonder why I can't get them saved. Wonder why I can't get them in.
You've built a memory. You've built a memory. And the tragic part about it, nobody may not ever be able to get them in. Let me ask you something. How are you in the talking department? Do you have the ignorance around your family to run people down and talk about them?
Oh, that old preacher, he ought to have been gone 10 years ago. I wish we had... You need a mouth operation. That preacher you're running down may be the last man that will be able to win that son or daughter to the Lord. But your memory you've built, of your long tongue, oh, let me tell you, where's that missionary? Wasn't there a missionary not here tonight? Raise your hand. Yes. I heard this story one time of some missionaries, a man in Africa. He was a missionary, and he got to this tribe, and there was a strange thing going around. Here was a man with a basket. All he'd done is walked around. And the man right behind him had some of these big old long tongs or pliers thing, you know, walked right behind the man with the basket. And the man right behind the man with the tongs walked around with a great big sharp knife. And this missionary noticed that there's two or three people in camp that all they're doing was, ooh, 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 and when they caught anybody gossiping, they'd catch him. This fellow, this fellow would reach in there with the pliers and pull his tongue out. That man that had the basket would hold it over there, and the man that had the knife. That stopped the gossiping. But I'm sorry to say, if we had that action in some Baptist church, there'd be a lot of people going, ooh, ooh. Hello. A lot of preachers thought the only thing they could do would be, ooh, ooh. I hear men say, women talk. There's men that women can't hold a lot to talk. You women say, amen. That's good, girls. You let a bunch of old men get in. Have you heard about old so-and-so? I'm going to tell you, I thought all the time he was like that. Memories. Memories. You're putting things down maybe in front of somebody that they'll never get in. John chapter 5 contains one of the saddest accounts that I know of in the Bible. John chapter 5 lays the account before us of the man that had been on the porch for 38 years, wanting to get down into the water when the waters were troubled to be healed. Jesus came to him and was talking to him, and the man said this, when I would go down, when I'm trying to get down, when I'm making an effort to get down, he said, somebody steps down before me. I wonder if there'd be somebody here tonight get saved if they hadn't spotted you and remember the memory you had built. I wonder if they said, he still owes me $100. He promised to pay. Now, for a sinner, that's a terrible thing. As a Christian, I could say, okay, if he wants it, fine. But you cheat a sinner, and he'll never forget it. Now, this may be a strange way to wind this revival up. But I'm going to tell you something right now. A lot of times folks said, well, if we'll get a different preacher, it may not be a different preacher you need. It may be some different living. Hello. Children with no confidence at all in their parents. The community knows the life you live.
The job where you work on. I wonder when something dirty is being told, is your ear the first one to tune in? My race is nearly run. Soon gone. I hope I've built some memories that will bring honor and glory to God. I want my children to walk by my casket and say, Daddy, thank you for the memories you left for me. I want that. Tomorrow I'll drive by home. My wife will get my laundry out and get it ready as quick as she can and repack my suitcase. And I'll be gone. That's been my life for 56 years. My kids, in many ways, are strangers. Their daddy, all they saw is a suitcase going to the car. But I hope I've built some memories. James, I hope I have. I hope my kids will say he loved God and he was willing to say goodbye to his family because he loved people. Your children are the greatest heritage you have. If your listen to me. Will your memories that you built keep them from getting saved? Will you step down before them and hinder them? Are you a stumbling block to them? What if you laid your arm around them tonight and said, I want you to get saved? Would they look at you and say, what are you talking about? Would they shrug your arm off of their shoulder? Have they saw any reality of Christ at all? My soul. The Bible said, let a man examine himself. I believe it's time to take inventory, don't you? And find out where we're at. Who we are. Pardon me. Stand up, Mama. This dear saint of God, her and Sister Keith, they follow me around. And if you've got something to say about me getting sugar, just go ahead and say it. I've built a memory that two dear saints of God will follow me around and hear the gospel. What is there in your life that's contributing to the well-being of somebody that's looking at you? Getting so quiet in here now, if we had a body, we could have a nice funeral, couldn't we? Above you, honey. Oh, Tim, you and her build memories for that little old baby. I may never see you again. That's how close my race is coming. But I want you to remember that old man that stood up that night and made you aware of the memories you're building. Made you stop and think. If you'll just think 1 minute of some things that the Bible said, let us lay aside. If you'll just stop and do that. Okay, I'm give out. Come on, Brother Choir Director. Tonight, what kind of memories have you built? Is your life standing in front of somebody that will hinder them from getting saved in the community, on the job, in the home, in the school, What kind of memories are you building while they play softly? Has God dealt with your heart tonight of something you need to repent about? Is there something right now that you need to say, Lord, I'm so terribly sorry? You don't have to bag people when the Holy Ghost does the work. Let's stand together, please. Sing. Hang on.
In every condition, in sickness and